The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng.
And Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, President Mahama in Dubai to participate in second Africa Global Business Forum. Minister of Youth and Sports to take steps to retrieve lands acquired for National Sports Complex at Nungwa from encroachers. Minister of Education expresses worry over negative attitude of Ghanaians towards technical and vocational education. PURC announces 6.5% upward adjustment in electricity tariffs as consumers express disappointment. And Nigeria and Senegal contain Ebola effectively for a month as first Ebola case is diagnosed in the U.S. The news in detail. President John Mahama has arrived in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, to participate in the second Africa Global Business Forum, which opens today. He's expected to address the forum alongside other invited African heads of state. The forum, called at the instance of the ruler of Dubai, Sheikh Mohammed Al Maktoum, will focus on new realities and new connections. It will, among other things, highlight the key indicators that drive Africa's promising economic future. President Mahama is expected to sell Ghana's potential and woo investors to explore the various sectors of the economy. Ghanaian entrepreneur and CEO of RLG Communications, Roland Agambiri, will also address the forum. Pascaline Adadevo has sent this report from Dubai.
With a vision to promote a better Ghana that creates the right environment for its citizens, President Mahama has participated in similar business forums that project the African market for global partnerships. The second Africa Global Business Forum will explore new areas of business opportunities between Africa and Dubai. The forum will take the form of plenary sessions, lively debates, networking, and one-on-one meetings. Africa is being viewed by the world as the continent with a promise because of its changing markets, economic growth, and business opportunities. As he interacts with leading business and industry players, President Mahama is expected to woo investors to explore Ghana's agriculture, energy, and transport sectors. On the sidelines of the forum, about 5 business leaders have requested to meet President Mahama. The discussions are expected to, among others, focus on infrastructure development. President Mahama will also join a discussion with some colleague African heads of state on leading the continent towards change. With a stable political and economic environment, President Mahama has on many occasions expressed optimism about the future of the country in spite of the short-term economic challenges.
Pascaline Adadevo sent that report from Dubai.
President Mahama is scheduled to officially break the ground for work to start on the construction of the second biggest gold mines in the Ashanti region in the first week of November this year. The company Asanko Gold, which will be built in 2 phases spanning about 6 years, is to invest about $820 million. In its operations to last for at least 13 years. This came to light during a visit to the operational headquarters of the company at Mansourabori in the Amansea West District by the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Ni Uza Mills, and the Ashanti Regional Minister, Dr. Samuel Sapo, to assess preparations being made by the company towards commencement of actual operations. Here's correspondent Nicholas Osewusu and Razak Baba's report.
According to the general manager of the company, Jonathan Abel Collins, the multinational mining firm with its head office in South Africa has already been granted the relevant operational licenses and leases by the statutory bodies in Ghana. He noted that the company expects to have its first gold in 2016 with an estimated plant recovery rate of 92.8%. The company, the second after AngloGold Ashanti in the Ashanti region, has set $1,000 as the benchmark at which its operation will be considered profitable. The benchmark is to cater for shocks that may result from international market prices of the commodity to avoid a recent situation where some similar companies went into distress as a result of slump in the world market prices of gold. Mr. Collins said that Asanko Gold Company Limited aims to produce about 200,000 ounces of gold annually. The company has developed a comprehensive local content and environmental sustainability policies to ensure that majority of its staff recruited are Ghanaians, with priority for citizens from its catchment area. Currently, the operational management is made up entirely of Ghanaians, with 345 out of the 635 workers being indigenous from the mining areas. In an interview, the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Neil Osamuels, expressed satisfaction with the policies of the company, particularly the local content, corporate social responsibilities and environmental management. He was also happy about the boldness of the company to begin operations in Ghana at a time even existing mining companies are collapsing as a result of a slump in the world market prices of gold.
That was Nicholas Osaiwusu and Razak Baba's report. The Control and Accountant General Department, CAGD, says salaries of public servants who are on the mechanized payroll for this month have been paid. A statement issued by the CAGD says salaries of staff of the GES were sent to the banks on the 25th of this month, while that of public servants were sent on the 29th. It stated that the delay was due to update of the payroll system, which extended beyond the normal scheduled time. Meanwhile, the CAGD says SMS messages have been sent to all employees to alert them of their salaries for the month of September. The statement, however, refuted allegations being circulated on social media, which attributes the delay in the payment of salaries for the month to financial challenges. All employees who receive salaries through the Control and Accountant General Department have been advised to visit the banks and access their salaries.
Worker union representatives who turned up for an annual general meeting of the Labour Enterprise Trust, a company set up with individual workers' contributions and those of institutional shareholders, were disappointed as the company could, in 2 years, only manage to declare a dividend of 60 pesos per share for 2014. There was no dividend for 2013. Speaker after speaker condemned the company for what they termed acts that paint the image of the labor movement in the eyes of the investor community negatively. The board chairman, Professor Basil Loko, expressed disappointment at the utterances of shareholders. We bring you more in this report by Justice Mingle and Bridget Boni Agbenyo.
The Labour Enterprise Trust was established in 1996 when the Trade Union Congress floated shares among individual workers and member unions. Since its establishment, however, the company hardly met its shareholders. At an annual general meeting, a retired contributor from the Ministry of Health, George Mensah, had this complaint to make.
The question is, when I was in employment, I joined it. In a year, I retired. So I'm an individual shareholder. Almost about 16 years I joined. Haven't had any dividends. My dress and everything is on their certificate. They don't write to me if they're having any meeting, anything of the sort. That's why I will tell them that 16 good years I joined. I haven't had any password from them. And my address, everything says on it. Instead of them to post a letter to me or to tell you that they're going to have the meeting on this, and they don't do it.
Contributions of the meetings were so heated that at a point in time, the chairman of the board thought they were not being appreciated despite the sacrifices. Dennis Vomawo is the managing director of Labour Enterprise Trust. He explains why the union has not been meeting its shareholders.
We are a peculiar union, and every year we are supposed to hold AGM. But the law provides shareholders to vary. So 4 years ago when we met, and everybody saw that unless there's a dividend from any of our investments, it's meaningless to come to an AGM. So the board made a proposal that can we change it and meet every 4 years, in which case the dividends will look a little better, and that is why it was changed. It's a misconception. Up to now, our difficulty is that people don't appreciate what LET is and what its investments are. The LET is only a secretariat, and we are funded by the taxes, and that's all. The other investments are City Car Park, Unique Insurance, and UB. Now, to the extent that City Car Park had difficulties over the years, which we reported to them, for 1 year, City Car Park is able to pay us 120,000. Unique Insurance, 2 years, are giving us 30,000. So one cannot say that the investments are bad, you know, but people look at it as if it is LET. But LET was only an investor, and therefore, I think that it's good investment that we have made, and the positive results have just started coming out.
Union representatives at the AGM expressed disappointment at the performance of the board and management. Some of them spoke to Radio Ghana.
The issue on the ground is not a perception, it's a reality. Ghanaian workers basically have lost interest in the operations of this labor enterprise fund because the education did not go down well with the workers. Now, if you know that the operation or the company is not viable, the best thing for you to do is to come back and do your groundwork, and then we'll find a way forward.
We, the workers, and for that matter, shareholders of the Labour Enterprises Trust, are not happy because in the chairman's address, He mentioned that the company nearly got grounded because of perceived non-payment of compensation. And this is why we are asking him whether is it a reality that they were not able to meet compensation to claimants or it is perceived.
The meeting nevertheless adopted the financial statements of the company from 2010 to 2013. Shareholders re-elected Professor Basil Loco and his board members and approved of a sitting allowance of 300 Ghana cedis per sitting for the chairman and 200 Ghana cedis for the members. An interesting aspect of the meeting was when auditors of the company Forbes Consult International failed to produce documents relating to the company's transactions, saying they have left them in the office.
Justice Mingle and Bridget Bonnie Agbenyo's report.
The Minister of Youth and Sports says action will soon be taken to retrieve lands acquired for a national sports complex at Nungwa from encroachers. The Chief Director Alhaji Abdullah Yakubu said the lands were acquired from the Nungwa Stool and Regime Manual Estate at a valid price of 2 million Ghana cedis. Unfortunately, the lands were not used for the intended purpose. Alhaji Yakubu said currently some people have encroached on the said lands because government is yet to pay compensation to the owners. Alhaji Yakubu said this when he appeared before the Judgment Death Commission in Accra. Cynthia Boateng's report.
In 1999, government acquired two parcels of land at Nungwa and Abeka for the purpose of constructing a sports complex, but to date, the land is lying fallow with portions encroached upon. The chief director at the sports ministry, Alhaji Abdullah Yakubu, told the Judgment Debt Commission that notice has been sent to the finance ministry to pay the compensation on the land in order to stop the encroachment.
The land is not completely intact. There has been encroachment, and we are making moves to take hold of the land. So we want to put together a team that will study the whole situation and then advise us as to what we should do to take back all our land. My Lord, we have written to the Ministry of Finance to get us funds.
So Commissioner Justice Yao Apau advised the ministry to speed up the payment process to prevent accumulation of interest on the money. Also at the commission was the Omanhene Fapase Nana Otieku Amueni Asari. He had written to the commission to clarify issues on compensation received on behalf of the Apasi people after 10 individuals sued him for using their names to collect compensation but refused to give them their due. Nana Mwini Asari explained that the said persons were only using portions of their Apasi land to farm and that they were not the owners of the stool land.
The land which was flooded was Apasi stool land. Individual persons and subjects of the stool were then farming on the flooded land. Since my predecessor listed their name for compensation in 1975 because they had crops on the land. When I came to him, he gave me the site plan for all the claimants to pursue the claim. He said that in such manner, the land belonged to the stool. So you must pursue the claim when the money comes and they get their share and use the rest for the development of a person.
Nana Mwini Asari tendered in documents backing his claims and a copy of the power of attorney given him by his people.
Cynthia Boateng reporting.
The General Secretary of the GFA, Emmanuel Jima, has suggested that government stops pre-financing future FIFA tournaments. He also wants all appearance fees to be paid at the end of a tournament. At his first day before the Justice Senior Jamefe Commission of Inquiry looking into Ghana's participation in Brazil 2014, Mr. Jima argued that all management members, players and technical officials be paid the same amount of appearance fees, bonuses and per diem.
I know of the bonus, the boss appearance,
yeah, the bonus, yeah.
Well, for him to call. Do you negotiate with the technical team in respect of appearance fee?
No, my lord.
Now let's go to the management. Should they be paying the appearance
fee? Yes, my lord.
They should.
Yes, my lord.
And what would be?
My lord, the management team play a major role. Travel with the team, make sure that the necessary logistics.
And ensure that the team wins.
Yes, my lord.
Don't worry. So you're saying, in principle, the managers will pay. Should we use the term appearance fee?
No. For the management?
Maybe honorarium.
Okay. You use the simpler word. You are going for something big again. Honorarium.
Now,
all right, okay, go on.
We know that the players, and I think it has been talked about, we have code of ethics and a contract with the players, which you have started.
Yes.
Have you executed the contract, the code of ethics with the players?
My lord, we gave it out to the players, and they asked that they want their lawyers to look at it.
First to look.
That was the Acting General Secretary of the GFA speaking at the Justice Senior Job Affair Commission of Inquiry into Ghana's participation in Brazil 2014.
The Minister of Education has expressed worry about the negative attitude of Ghanaians towards technical and vocational education. Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, said out of 421,000 basic school leavers, only 2.3% applied for placement in vocational and technical institutions. This is said is an indictment on the country's educational policy and development. Speaking at the launch of the Second Skill Development Fund and Technology Fair 2014 in Accra, Mr. Ablakwa called on parents to encourage their wards to pursue vocational and technical courses.
This is Radio Ghana News at 6. Now the major stories. President Mahama in Dubai to participate in Second Africa Global Business Forum. Ministry of Youth and Sports to take steps to retrieve lands acquired for National Sports Complex at Nungwa from encroaches. Ministry of Education expresses worry over negative attitude of Ghanaians towards technical and vocational education. PURC announces 6.5% upward adjustment in electricity tariffs as consumers express disappointment. And Nigeria and Senegal contain Ebola effectively for a month as first Ebola case is diagnosed in the U.S.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
You welcome back. The Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PURC, has increased electricity and water tariffs for the fourth quarter of the year. Electricity tariffs have gone up by 6.54%, while that of water is 4.54%. The new water tariff has, however, not been passed on to consumers due to technical deficiencies on the part of the Ghana Water Company. The Director of Public and External Affairs of the PURC, Nana Yajantua, told Georgia Sikri that the new tariff takes effect from today.
The PURC has increased electricity tariffs by 6.54% and water by 4.54%. But the water tariff will not be passed on because they have not met certain regulatory requirements that you've asked them to do. This has been necessitated due to the fact that there is a tilt towards a dependence on crude oil in the generation mix and the fuel mix at the moment because there is a drastic gas supply coming from Nigeria, and also you see that the levels in the dams that we have, Apon, Akosombo, Ebwi, are reducing. So there's some tilt towards crude oil, and the utilities need some increase to even maintain the current situation that we have, that is the load shedding and the challenges that we are facing.
Nanaya, it comes as welcome news to many when you say you're not passing on the water to consumers because they've not met certain standards. But one who asks, the doomsaw is still going, quality in terms of electricity remains poor. So why pass that on to the consumers?
Please, what is going on is not about quality. It's the fact that there's inadequate electricity. There's a deficiency in generation, and that's got nothing to do with quality. You can talk about quality really when there is adequate generation, we have a reserve margin, there's excess supply, and still there are lights off. That one will be at the distribution end. That one will be maybe at the transmission end where there are equipment failure and all that, and that one boils down to inefficiency. But not what we are going through right now. What we are going through is inadequate generation, and it is not a poor quality of services.
Right. So when is this new increment expected to take off?
It's starting effective 1st October.
You heard the Director of Public and External Affairs of the PURC, Nanaya Janto, in that interview with Georgia Secre.
Now, the increase in utility tariffs has been received with mixed reactions from the public. Radio Ghana sampled the views of Ghanaians on the new tariffs.
The government now is doing this for its benefit, but not for the benefit of the people in the country. Looking at the increment in utility bill, being it light and water, we are even paying all those tariffs and increments. And yes, so we are not getting either the light or the water to use. And this increment is irrational. At least when we are paying, we must get it to use.
I'm wondering the rationale behind the increase of the energy, because for some time now, we are having them so there is water ration, and then they haven't even solved that. We are paying and we are not seeing any providers. They are not providing the services that they are. So what is the essence of it?
If we still do not have competent people who be able to run this sector more effectively, the increments will not do anything. It will just be the cycle of always increasing tariffs with the hope that the problems will be solved based on the monies that we keep on exporting from people.
It's not good. What they are doing is not good. With the increasing water, increasing electricity, it's not good. So the president has to look and do everything for us, because we are dying.
At this moment, it's not the best, because if there's increment, it must also refer to salary increase. Salaries are the same, irrespective of public, private, salaries are the same. And fuel prices are going up. At the same time, you know, you are increasing utility tariffs, and I think you are overburdening the citizens of this nation. So personally, it's the wrong time to increase it at this time.
You had views from a cross-section of the public on the new tariffs announced by the PURC.
Four people have been arraigned before an Accra Circuit Court for defrauding the state's routine of 8,300 Ghana cedis, 17 pesos. The four include Godwin Amegbe, staff of the Controlling Accountant General Department, and Sonny Eric Adimira, also with the department, attached to charge. The two others are Maufema Wuga, who works with Assa Saving and Loans Company, and Kennedy Entry, an employee of Zoom Lion. One other suspect, Richard Asamoah, is at large. All the four pleaded not guilty to two counts of conspiracy and three counts of stealing. The suspects have been admitted to 200,000 Ghana cedis bail, with three sureties each to be justified. They are to reappear on the 30th of this month. Rita Nyako has more.
Presenting the facts of the case to the court presided over by Jennifer Miles Ahmed, PSP Ibrahim Ano said in June this year, Amegbe contacted Adinira to get somebody for him to open a bank account with any of the branches of the Standard Chartered Bank so that he could transfer money into the account to enable the person to make withdrawals on his behalf. The account was pension benefits of supposed deceased persons. Adinira then introduced Wuga and Enchi to Amegbe. Wuga agreed and in June this year opened an account with the Abekala Pass branch of the Standard Chartered Bank with an initial deposit of 12 Ghana cedis. The account was opened to channel a purported pension benefit into it. Amegbe subsequently instructed that an amount of 77,000 Ghana cedis as pension benefit for deceased patients Kuonu be credited to the account. In August last month, Amegbe informed Wuga and Enchi that the amount has been credited with 77,000 cedis. Last month, Amegbe informed Wuga and Enchi that the account has been credited with 77,000 Ghana cedis. On the 16th of this month, Wuga was accompanied by Enchi to the bank to withdraw the money. The presence of Enchi at the bank was to ensure that Wuga did not run away with the money after withdrawal. On the attempt by Wuga to withdraw the money, he was questioned by the bank official to produce evidence of the deceased person on whose behalf the money was credited to the account. He was asked to produce a letter to the bank administration to prove that he was a beneficiary of the supposed deceased money. Wuga then informed Adinira of the bank's demand. Adinira then accompanied Wuga with a fake letter of administration and an affidavit purportedly prepared by Amega and confirmation letter signed by Amega and his complimentary card to the bank. All the documents bore the name of Wuga as beneficiary. On the 16th of this month, Wuga had a call from the bank requesting him to go for the money. The BNI was subsequently alerted. Wuga and Enchi were apprehended after the withdrawal by the BNI operators, but Enchi managed to escape arrest. An amount of 35,000 cedis which was withdrawn by Wuga was later retrieved from him. On the 18th of this month, Adinira was arrested, and on the 23rd, Amega was also arrested.
Rita Nyako's report.
On the foreign front, the U.S. health authorities say the Ebola virus has been contained in Nigeria and Senegal after no new cases were reported there for almost a month. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention say the outbreak could be declared over in Nigeria next month if no case is recorded. Meanwhile, the new head of the UN's Ebola response team has urged rapid progress within the next 60 days to stave off the disease.
Still in the U.S., the first case of the deadly Ebola virus diagnosed has been confirmed in Dallas, Texas. Officials at the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital say the unidentified patient is being kept in isolation. The man is thought to have contracted the virus in Liberia before traveling to the U.S. nearly 2 weeks ago. Director for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Thomas Fridien, stated this.
Today, we are providing the information that an individual traveling from Liberia has been diagnosed with Ebola in the United States. This individual left Liberia on the 19th of September, arrived in the U.S. on the 20th of September, had no symptoms when departing Liberia or entering this country, but 4 or 5 days later, around the 24th of September, began to develop symptoms. On the 26th of September, initially sought care, and Sunday, the 28th of September, was admitted to a hospital in Texas and placed on isolation. We received in our laboratory today specimens from the individual, tested them, and they tested positive for Ebola.
That was Director, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Thomas Fridien.
And now to end the news, the main points again. President Mahama is in Dubai to participate in the second Africa Global Business Forum. Ministry of Youth and Sports is set to take steps to retrieve lands acquired for National Sports Complex at Nungwa from encroachers. The Ministry of Education has expressed worry over the negative attitude of Ghanaians towards technical and vocational education. The PURC has announced a 6.5% upward adjustment in electricity tariffs as consumers express disappointment. And Nigeria and Senegal contain Ebola effectively for a month as first Ebola case is diagnosed in the U.S. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Ibrahim Kwarteng in Accra.